Nivrite, in a solitary place. Madhye, within the gardens. Sthano, place. Jadi, if. Pam, I get. Taha, there. Padi, vaho, I shall stay. Ekole, alone. Kala, time. Konan, I shall pass. Haridas Thakur then expressed his desire. If I could just get to a solitary place near the temple, I could stay there alone and pass my time. So this is Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with all the devotees. And Haridas Thakur is not going near the temple because he's thinking that I have no authority to go there. I'm a low-born person. Jagannatha seva kere mor sparsha nahi hoy, taha pari raho mor e vancha hoy. I do not wish the servants of Lord Jagannath to touch me. I would remain there in the garden alone. That is my desire. Ekota loka giya prabhure kohilo, shuniya prabhur mone bhara shuka hoilo. When this message was relayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the people, the Lord became very happy to hear it. Ena kale kashi mishra paricha dvijan asiya korilo prabhur charan vandan. At this time Kashi Mishra, along with the superintendent of the temple, came and offered his respects unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarva Vaishnav Deki Sukha Vada Pailam Yata Jogya Shabha Shane Anande Milila. Upon seeing all the Vaishnavas together, both Kashi Mishra and the superintendent became very happy. With great happiness, I met with them in a befitting manner. Prabhupada dui jane koilo nivedane agya deha vaishnavera kori samadhane. Both submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give us orders so that we may make proper arrangements to accommodate all the Vaishnavas. Sabar Koriyachi Vasa Grihasthan Mahaprasadya Sabar Kari Kori Samadhan. Accommodations have been arranged for all the Vaishnavas. Now let us distribute Mahaprasad to all of them. Prabhu Kohe Gopinatha Jaha Vaishnav Lal Jaha Yaha Kohe Vasa Taha Deha Lal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told Gopinathacharya, please go with the Vaishnavas and accommodate them in whatever residence Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent offer. Mahaprasadanya deha maninathasthani sarva vaishnavera iho koribe samadhani. Then the Lord told Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent, as for the remnants of food left by Jagannath, let them be delivered by Vaninath Roy, delivered to Vaninath Roy's charge, for he can take care of all the Vaishnavas and distribute Mahaprasad to them. Om Ajanti Mirandatsya Janjana Shinakaya Chakshur Militam Veena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Nama Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Pada Mayam Tathati Shokodantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Patakamanam Sri Guru Vaishnavanishtha Sri Rupam Shadrajatam Shahadana Gaganatan Ditam Stam Sajivam Sādvaitam śāvatūtam pradiśanā-sehitam Krishna-caitanya-devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Kamstra. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kam Shanagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Ko Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanindananda Shri Adhaita Gadadhar Shri Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So all the Vaishnavas from Bengal have come to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're being accommodated by Kashi Mishra and the superintendent of the Jagannath temple. It's the duty of the devotee, actually not only devotees, anyone, when guests come, to see that they're properly looked after, properly accommodated, properly offered prasadam. The injunction is Atithi Devo Bhava. An uninvited guest, even what to speak of invited guests, if we invite someone, we try to take care of them. But even the uninvited guest should be treated like the Supreme Lord. Deva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or it means one of the demigods. If Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva were to come to the temple, then we hope that they'd get a good reception. They wouldn't be left sitting somewhere and ignored. They'd be received very nicely. So any guest, he's part and parcel of Krishna. He should be received and welcomed. Even enemies. Even if an enemy comes to your house, he should be treated in such a way that he won't feel that here is an enemy. In the Kurukshetra war, during the day, the opposing parties would fight to the death. And in the evenings, the battle would stop for the day. And they would visit one another at their tents. And they'd be received just like friends, just like brothers. And there'd be no consideration. No one would be made to feel, oh, you did this today, you can't. We don't want to see your face. And here's what we think of you. Rather, they would be welcomed. What would you like? You want to take everything? That's all right. They would be made to feel welcome. So this is Vedic culture. And what to speak of Vaishnava culture? Vaishnavas are supposed to be the topmost members of the Vedic society. So this etiquette is etiquette, or it's more than etiquette. Etiquette means official, but actually one should feel that way, that we're happy that someone has come to bless our house and take some prasadam and give us an opportunity to render some service. That's good for us, and especially if some Vaishnavas come, then that's our good fortune. That's our good portion. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah mancha kolpatarubhyascha kripasindhubhyascha. Any Vaishnava, he's a special person. Jai bhajai shevana in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The one who's engaged in the service of Krishna, he's great. And abhaktahin char, the non-devotees are wretched. Even the wretched people, you should be kind to them. But what to speak of the great persons or the devotees of the Lord? They should be offered nice reception. And whatever they need should be supplied. Any guest, what does he need? He needs a place to sit down, place to rest, some refreshment, some water at least, and some mahaprasadam, and darshan of the deity, and little, whatever he may need. Doesn't guest usually need so very much. But if all of these things are offered, nice reception, some sweet words, aren't a drain on the budget, it's not a problem. Anyone can offer sweet words. Even it's enjoined, if you have no, if a guest comes, you may be a poor man, but offer him a mat to sit on, offer him some water. Water also doesn't cost very much. And even if you can't offer water or a place to sit, at least offer sweet words. So that mood should be there. And here we see Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent. They felt very appreciative that all these Vaishnava devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have come here from Bengal. So how can we serve them? Vaishnavas are meant to be served, or Vaishnavas are meant to serve other Vaishnavas. So Kashi Mishra and the superintendent, in that Vaishnava mood, were thinking, or they're asking, now how can we best serve all these Vaishnavas who've come? How can we provide them with a good place to stay? How can we provide them with nice prasadam? How should we do everything to their satisfaction? So this is Vaishnava culture. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given little direction. You give mahaprasadam to Vaninath Roy, he'll distribute. And now he'll speak about his own arrangements. Amar nikote e pushper udyane kakai ekakani ghara ache paramanirjane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, nearby my place in this garden of flowers is one single room that is very solitary. She ghar amake deho ache payojan nibhute vasiyataha kariva smalan. Please give that room to me, for I have need of it. Indeed, I shall remember the lotus feet of the Lord sitting in that solitary place. Purport. This statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is significant. Nibhrite vasya taha koribo smaran. I shall sit down there in that solitary place and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Neophyte students are not to imitate sitting in the solitary place and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should always remember that it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who wanted such a place, either for himself or Haridas Thakur. No one can suddenly attain the level of Haridas Thakur and sit down in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Only an exalted person like Haridas Thakur or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is personally exhibiting the proper behavior for an acharya, can engage in such a practice. At the present moment, we see that some of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are tending to leave their preaching activities in order to sit in a solitary place. This is not a very good sign. It is a fact that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has condemned this process for neophytes. He has even stated in a song, Pratishthara Ghtare Nirjanara Ghtare Tavaharinam Kevala Kaitab. Sitting in a solitary place, intending to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is considered a cheating process. This practice is not possible for neophytes at all.
neophyte devotee must act and work very laboriously under the direction of the spiritual master. And he must thus preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only after maturing in devotion can he sit down in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he nonetheless traveled all over India continuously for 6 years, and then retired to Jagannath Puri to teach us a lesson. Even at Jagannath Puri, the Lord chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in a great meeting at the Jagannath Temple. The point is that one should not try to imitate Haridas Thakur at the beginning of one's transcendental life. One must first become very mature in devotion and thus receive the approval of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only at such a time may one actually sit down peacefully in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The senses are very strong, and if a neophyte devotee imitates Haridas Thakur, his enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, and matsarja, will disturb and fatigue him. Instead of chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the neophyte will simply sleep soundly. Preaching work is meant for advanced devotees, and when an advanced devotee is further elevated on the devotional scale, he may retire to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra in a solitary place. However, if one simply imitates advanced spiritual life, he will fall down, just like the Sahajiyas in Vrindavan.
So this warning is given. The Krishna book ends with the same warning, actually. If you look on the last page of the Krishna book, you'll find the Srila Prabhupada says the same thing, that the Parikshit Maharaj went to the bank of the Ganges simply to hear him chant about Krishna. But if we try to imitate Parikshit Maharaj, then we'll not attain the same result. One has to be guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and one has to act in such a way that his mind and senses will be fully engaged in the service of Krishna. For the advanced devotee, preaching is there. And for those who are less advanced, assisting in the preaching. And only for those who are very much mature in devotional life is this nirjana bhajan recommended. Nirjana bhajan means solitary. Get out of all social activities, all association, and just you sit down and chant Hare Krishna, absorb in Krishna consciousness. That's not such an easy thing. Prabhupada, that requires taste, that requires realization, that requires deep realization. Abhinata nama namino. He's chanting Hare Krishna, he's realizing at every moment the presence of Krishna. But for us, it's 16 rounds, how many rounds are done? How many rounds are still to go? How long will it take me? When will this round be over? In that stage, we try to be... Haridas Thakur was always realizing the presence of Krishna. So much so that when a prostitute came in the dead of night and proposed to him, "You're so young, you're so handsome, you're such a great devotee, I can't live without you, I'm going to kill myself if I can't have your association." He said, "All right, sit down. Let me finish my chanting and then we'll enjoy." And you know the story, that after 3 days like that, then she became a pure devotee. And he wasn't deviated from his position. If someone comes to us in the dead of night in such a solitary place, we'll say, "All right, let's enjoy, and then I'll finish my chanting." So we have to act in a way that's appropriate for our spiritual position. The prescription is different for different people of different levels. So for the even that's there in Bhagavad Gita, that for the beginning of for the neophyte in the yoga system, work is said to be the means. And for the advanced yogi, meditation. So sometimes we think that it's some sort of material thing, that I'm being engaged in collection activities, I'm being engaged in fixing cars or managing something. And this is mundane. And what I really came for is for Krishna Katha and chanting Hare Krishna and all these transcendental activities. This is a misunderstanding. The so-called work associated with the service of Krishna is on the transcendental platform and is very much important for the neophyte devotee. I'll give you an example. There was one devotee who was in India in fairly early times. He'd taken sannyas also. He was quite a senior person, senior to me also. And Prabhupada was trying to get the activities in India going. He'd been given that land in Vrindavan and he wanted to construct that temple there. And so this devotee was sent there and Prabhupada put him in charge of construction. And that devotee had something of a tendency toward what should we say? Sort of floating around and simply finding also reading interesting books and finding out about esoteric practices and so on and so on. So Prabhupada put him in charge of construction. So he did it for a little while and then he left. And then in fact he left the association of devotees. And later I met him in Los Angeles and he complained to me that Prabhupada should have known that I had more of a tendency for hearing and chanting, and instead he put me in charge of construction and spoiled my spiritual life. Because I should have been engaged according to my nature. But his nature was that he wanted to waste time in books that were over his head and in accomplishing nothing for the service of the spiritual master or even for his own self. And when he was given something practical that would have glorified Krishna and that would have helped him in providing the necessary balance in his spiritual, for his spiritual advancement, he rejected it or gave it no proper attention and thereby ruined his own spiritual life. And then, of course, ascribed it to, you know, so it's always the other guy's fault. The other guy in this case being the spiritual master. So this tendency is there in the neophyte devotee to think that he's more advanced than he is and to imitate the activities of those who are actually advanced, even though he doesn't have the qualifications. So what the advanced devotee will do sitting in a solitary place and what we'll do sitting in a solitary place are different. The Prabhupada mentions we'll fall asleep, you know, we'll read a little bit, we'll chant a little bit, and then we'll feel tired. And then we'll take a little rest. And then we'll get up and it'll be prasadam time. We'll take a little prasadam and then, of course, we'll feel a little sleepy. We'll take some more rest. And meanwhile, the mind is becoming either dull
or agitated, or both, alternatively dull and agitated. Because sitting alone, without proper association, the mind will wander, and he'll think of sex. He'll be sitting in Vrindavan, he'll be in some sacred place, some very ancient temple, and without proper association and without proper engagement, his mind will drift toward sex life, because the heart is not fully purified. So as soon as the mind is given some leisure, then the mind says, "Okay, we have some free time, let's think about sex," which he will. Then naturally the mind becomes more agitated, then everything gets spoiled. And in that way there are so many Goswamis in Vrindavan and Babajis in Vrindavan who have their Babajarinis or whatever they are. And it's to be expected because they have no proper guidance and no proper engagement. Maybe they've come to Vrindavan with some good purpose, but instead this happens. We still see that even in the present time, that people go to Vrindavan to practice devotional service. They come from the West, leaving their engagements, and with the idea that I'll go to Vrindavan and I'll concentrate on hearing and chanting. And then they become involved in illicit sex in Vrindavan. So better to do hard work in Chicago or New York than to fall down in Vrindavan. There's some t-shirt I've seen around, "I lost my heart in Vrindavan." So unfortunately, that's quite often true, that people go to Vrindavan and they lose their heart for Krishna consciousness. And instead they give their heart to a sweetheart. So that danger is there, that Vrindavan, therefore Prabhupada intended that Vrindavan is for the those who are finished with material enjoyment. Prabhupada especially wanted that for the retired people. There are so many pious people, especially in India, there are so many men who are very successful in their business life, very successful in social affairs. But you can't do that for your whole life, or you shouldn't do that for your whole life. So they probably would advise in his books, he's given the same advice many places, that one should retire, vanam gato jad harim ashwayeta. And for this purpose, Prabhupada had Vrindavan, guest house, Vrindavan facilities, so that people could retire from their family life, retire from their business life, retire from their material life, and engage in the service of Krishna Balaram, engage in the service of Radha Krishna, and make their life successful in Krishna consciousness. It's not meant as a place for sense gratification. It's not meant as a place for eating, sleeping, defending, and especially not for mating. This is not what Vrindavan is for. But people go there either... anyway, people go there and get the wrong idea. So... and sometimes it becomes like that, that we think, that, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my spiritual life. Let me go to Vrindavan and simply hear and chant. Actually, once you go to Vrindavan to serve, those who are desirous of going to Vrindavan, they should go there and work very hard. There are so many kinds of service that need to be done. And if one goes there with the idea of being fully engaged in activities, then it's very good. But if one thinks that I'll go to Vrindavan and I'll rent a little place and I'll simply chant Hare Krishna and read Ujjvalamani and this kind. Then he just becomes another flake in Vrindavan. Not accomplishing anything for the service of Guru Gananda, and not accomplishing anything for his own spiritual advancement. Because he's taking the medicine which is meant for someone else. He's taking the wrong prescription. The heart patient is taking the medicine for the tuberculosis patient. Or the person with the serious diseases trying to do something which is for the healthy people. So
here it's very good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted a solitary place for sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna and not being disturbed by so many people with useless concerns. Gaurakishore Das Babaji also found some solitary place and he was chanting Hare Krishna and chasing away the nonsense mundaners who would just disturb him with useless chit-chat, useless questions. So he did that. Haridas Thakur did that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But who are we? Are we Haridas Thakur? Are we Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Are we Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj? We're a different sort of person. So here it's indicated that as it's good for the very advanced devotee to sit and chant constantly in a sacred place, solitary place, it's very good for the neophyte devotee to be engaged morning to night in working very hard for the service of the spiritual master. Prabhupada uses the word laboriously. That will help us. We have a tendency to be very, very active, especially we're affected by the mode of passion. And passion means activity. So if a passionate person tries to become inactive and sit and chant, he'll not be effective. He has to work. He has to use that passion and energy for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example that some boy came to Mayapur, one disciple, and he made a little hut or something out in the fields of Mayapur, and he made a vow to sit there and chant day and night. And after 3 days, he was gone. And no one ever saw him again. So that's useless. Better to be honestly engaged, and then you'll genuinely make advancement by cooking, by collecting, by distributing books, by construction work, by whatever it is that we're directed to do. By those multifarious activities, we'll become purified. Of course, it doesn't mean we simply work. That work, part of the prescription is hearing and chanting. And while you're working, chant Hare Krishna. And especially morning and evening, these temple programs are essential. To chant our 16 rounds, get up early in the morning, attend the Mangalarti, see the deities, attend the kirtan, attend the class. If we leave these functions out, then we go the other way. One way you become a prakriti sahajya, the other way you just become a karmi again. Just working hard like an ass, without any spiritual knowledge, without any spiritual development. Just a hard worker. So that's also not wanted, because then again, the consciousness will change. I'm working, but how much are they giving me? Don't they know how much my work is worth? They don't know. All right, I'll make my own arrangement. That's also going on in Vrindavan. I'm working, I'm doing, I'm making life members, I'm collecting. So I'm entitled to X, Y, Z percent. And one doesn't become purified in Vrindavan by working like the karmi and taking money which belongs to the deity or the spiritual master. That's not the way to become purified. So, therefore, one has to seriously hear, chant, remember that why am I working? It's not for sense gratification. This is not karmic business. But my working is meant for self-purification
and for the satisfaction of the Lord, the devotees, and the spiritual master. So, in this way, one very carefully has to act under proper direction so that he'll be rightly engaged. Vishikena Rishikesha Sevana Bhakti Ruchita. This is bhakti. To be freed from material designations, to be purified in consciousness, and to engage the purified senses in the service of the master of the senses. Not to become inactive. Haridasa Thakur was active. His chanting Hare Krishna was active chanting. It means all of his senses were fully engaged in the service of the Lord. And his mind, the center of the senses, was fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. So he had no need to perform other activities, although we read how he was preaching. He was going out with Nityananda Prabhu and preaching to Jagai, Madhai, and others. And then he could chant also with the same concentration and purity. So we can't imitate, we have to follow their example. And we have to follow the prescription, sometimes working, sometimes chanting and attending the temple programs. Everything balanced, everything properly and attentively seen to, and we'll make progress. Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, contrary to what people may think, my name, I'm actually a householder and I have five children. And there's a very nice facility in Vrindavan, the mindful Vrindavan Trust. I can get an apartment there and there's a nice restaurant there.
And you can have your sixth child there also.
Yes, yes, because a child born in Vrindavan.
Conceived in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Very important.
So would you encourage me?
Yes, I'd encourage you to go to Delhi. Prabhupada said, if they want to have sex, let them go to Delhi. Vrindavan is not meant for that. Live in Vrindavan, but not in Delhi consciousness. So many people now in ISKCON, outside of ISKCON, they like Vrindavan. It's like an extension of Delhi. I have a house in Delhi, I have a house in Vrindavan, and I just do the same thing in Vrindavan that I do in Delhi, except it's like, you know, another kind of summer home, right? You know, I have a place in Dehradun, and I have a place in Delhi, and I have a place in Vrindavan. So according to the season, I go to the place that's comfortable and I enjoy. So Vrindavan is not meant for them. It's meant for serious devotional service. Serious devotional service. Because there's some instruction, householders can also take advantage of Vrindavan. But it's not a place for simply, certainly not a place for sex. Certainly not a place for sex. Prabhupada says it's aparad. Let them go to Delhi. And one should have some service, not that I simply go to Vrindavan as a nice place for household affairs. Vrindavan means following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. That should be our business. Otherwise the conception is lost for the Vrindavan foot. We have Los Angeles, but why do we need Vrindavan? Yes? Service. If you go to India, best thing you can do is render service. It's not just a holiday, you know, that I go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and I kind of float about and do some, all sorts of strange things. Do some service. Go to Mayapur and ask for some service to do. Cut vegetables, help cook, do something, organize something, do something. Vrindavan also. Do some service. of course we go, it's not this, it's also service to see the different places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, to spend time focusing on hearing and chanting and such activities. That's not wrong. To go for 3 days, to go for a week for a program of hearing and chanting and not much of anything else, that's fine. That's fine. That's part of our program. 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week. But once you, you know, that's a visitor. Then you're a pilgrim, you're a visitor. But once you dig in, then don't keep that same mentality that I just come to see the present. You know, hear some nectarian katha. Do some service to the God. Ananda Bhava Hari Bhaya Vrindavan. Serve Vrindavan. Arajya, what is that? Vrajesha Tanyata Dham Vrindavan. What is that first one? Arajya. Arajya Vrindavan Vrajesha Tanyata. Like that. Like Krishna is the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead, and his abode Vrindavan is not different from him. So we may come to Krishna consciousness to enjoy the facilities provided by Krishna, but even if we come with that mood, we should quickly come to the higher platform that I may have come for my happiness, but my real business is to give happiness to Krishna. I may have come for my comfort, my facility, but my real purpose should be to give happiness to Krishna, give service to Krishna. So I should have that, I should quickly come to that point. And if I go to Vrindavan, my purpose should be to serve the Lord, to serve Krishna, to serve the abode of Krishna, to serve the devotees of Krishna, to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That should be my purpose. Not just that I'm in tourist mode, and because I'm a devotee, I don't need a 5-star hotel. 1 or 2 stars will do. And I go touring, and I go swimming, and I go hiking, and I go canoeing, and all of that. It's not a resort. But it's like that now. Advertised Vrindavan resorts. You know, big developers have moved into Vrindavan. That's not the idea. It's for service. Vrindavan is meant. Krishna is meant for service. It's not that we take Krishna to be our servant. We're meant to serve Vrindavan. Yes, another question. Yes. A lot closer than a lot of other people do. Draw the line on the safe side. Tend toward following rather than duplicating. We should understand. By reading the books, you can understand what are the teachings and what are the extraordinary examples. That just like Prabhupada, he would sometimes go into ecstasy in Mayapur while speaking. He would sometimes feel stunned. He would sometimes, his voice would falter. So if you want to do that, then you're a nonsense. And I'll also go to Mayapur and I'll give a class. At a certain point in class, I'll stop speaking and my voice will falter and you're a rascal. You just want to imitate so that everybody's like, ooh. You get a big reputation. No. You have to see what Prabhupada is teaching. As Prabhupada says here, to work very laboriously for these service. And Prabhupada set that example also. He was walking on the streets in Delhi, during the heat of the day for selling this back to Godhead, going to person to person and shop to shop. Well, that we won't do. But something that was possible for Prabhupada and not for us, that he never instructed us to do, that we'll do. And we'll find a line here, a line there, two lines here, four lines there, and we'll write a big paper that, yes, this is what Prabhupada wanted us to do. And become very fashionable. Choose what you want to do. Do it. And then slice and cut and paste from here and there to show that this is really what Prabhupada wanted. What Prabhupada wanted me to do is what I want to do. What a pleasant coincidence. So we should actually understand improper, so therefore the association of devotees is so important. Because when I start to do my nonsense, then some of my associates will call me over and say, Prabhu, we have something to talk about here. And they can set you straight, especially if your associates, the association of other nonsense like you, what's the use? But if we associate with advanced devotees, therefore Prabhupada wanted advanced devotees in Vrindavan. Prabhupada at one point he said, we should always have 10 Goswamis in Vrindavan. Men who are renounced, who are very serious about devotional service, who are avoiding sense gratification, and are intent on preaching Krishna consciousness. Maybe sannyasis, maybe householders, but we should have very strong devotees who set the example so that others will also catch that same example and be benefited. And we do, we have many nice devotees like that in Vrindavan. Not that it's otherwise, we have such devotees. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructed. It was, I think, Jagannanda Pandit wanted to go to Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you go, but just associate with Rupa Sanatan. Don't hang out with the local people. You'll misunderstand what they're doing. You won't understand because they're spontaneous devotees. And you're not. You won't understand. So we should go to Vrindavan to associate with the advanced devotees. Not advanced by concoction. They're advanced because they're seeing Radha and Krishna at every moment. Tears flow from their eyes like man eating chili peppers, not that kind. But those who are actually advanced because they're serving the mission of the spiritual master. Yes.
We can also do much as well. Just be now very strict and violent, but you know that the reaction to instant definitely makes it easier. There's some privilege, but there's my book, there's the reaction.
You can get away with something.
You can get away with things, and the mentality is always that you now enjoy.
Actually, it's like that. Mayapur is a place for transcendental enjoyment. So one should enjoy chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in devotional activities in Mayapur. It is it's a very enjoyable place. It's so beautiful. It's so the atmosphere is so sublime. So go to Mayapur and enjoy. Don't go to Mayapur and suffer. Sense gratification means suffering. And serving Krishna means enjoyment. So those who go to Mayapur and engage in devotional service, either by hearing and chanting or by rendering some practical service, they'll enjoy like anything. Mayapur is such an enjoyable place. And mood is, in one sense, it's very liberal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahabharanyavatar. He's the most merciful, and he knows these are fallen souls, so he's very magnanimous with them. But magnanimous doesn't mean that here's your apartment, here's your refrigerator, here's your Coca-Cola, here's your this, that, here's your bed, here's every facility so that you can have another little New York here in a corner of Mayapur. It's not like that. That would be the opposite of generous. Someplace in fourth canto, maybe it's said that a person who encourages others in sense gratification, especially encourages innocent people in sense gratification, is like a person who has a defenseless animal. The animal, you know, he's lying on your lap and he's slit his throat. So if someone's under your charge or under your guidance and you encourage them in sense gratification, it's like slitting the throat of an innocent animal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come for that kind of violence, and Prabhupada didn't come for that kind of violence. He didn't come to establish Mayapur or Vrindavan so the devotees from the West could every once in a while go out there and party it up and enter into the sense gratification mood and really, you know, like have a vacation, go to Mayapur, and that's not like that. And if we go with that mentality, we won't understand Mayapur or Vrindavan, and we'll commit offenses. And if we think, no, in Mayapur, if I commit offenses, they won't act. Well, there may be some liberality, but we won't make any spiritual progress that way. We should, to really get the thing from Mayapur Vrindavan, we should serve. It's meant for service. And if we don't serve Krishna and Mayapur Vrindavan, then we'll serve Maya. It's not that these places are exempt, that you can't fall into Maya because you're in Mayapur. And you can't fall into Maya and Vrindavan because Krishna will protect you because it's Krishna's place. No. Their history contradicts that idea. So many people have fallen into the worst, most deplorable kinds of illicit sense enjoyment in both places. So they've misunderstood. Or they've acted mistakenly. They didn't follow the direction. They had some other. They were careless or inattentive or ill-motivated from the beginning. So they thought, here's a place for doing business, here's a place for having sex, here's a place for this, that. It's not Vrindavan, it's not Mayapur. Mayapur means the headquarters of the Sankirtan movement. And Vrindavan similarly is for serving Krishna and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we have some other mentality, then we'll spoil our spiritual life, and we'll spoil the spiritual life for others also. Time? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.